Soundstripe.
Welcome to the Artificial Intelligence Podcast, where we dive deep into the wisdom and intelligence, or should we say, the artificial intelligence of Toronto's city government. In this podcast, we'll explore the latest happenings, decisions, and policies shaping our city, all through the lens of cutting-edge AI technology. Whether it's policy debates, urban development, or the key issues affecting daily life in Toronto, we're here to break it down and give you a fresh, insightful perspective. Stay tuned as we unpack the latest in city governance with a mix of smart analysis and sharp commentary.
Hey everyone, and welcome back. We're diving deep into the November 14th, 2024 Toronto City Council meeting.
Oh, this one.
The daytime session.
Yeah.
Specifically. And let me tell you, this meeting was a roller coaster.
It was a long one.
Yeah. Lots of fiery debates, close votes, and even a little bit of Taylor Swift.
A little bit of fun there.
Thrown into the mix.
So always good.
Can be a fun one. Okay, so the meeting kicked off with Deputy Mayor Malik, and he had some exciting news to share.
Yes, he did.
Taylor Swift's Eras Tour is launching right here in Toronto.
Right here in Toronto.
That's so cool.
What I thought was so interesting was how this announcement just rippled through like all these different city departments. Absolutely. And it's really fascinating to see how the city kind of sees this opportunity. You know, it wasn't just about, okay, how are we going to manage traffic? How are we going to, you know, make sure public safety is, you know, at the forefront, but really turning this into a citywide celebration. And we're talking collaboration across, you know, emergency services, libraries, cultural institutions. They even created a special Two-Well department to showcase local artists. Like, how cool is that?
That is so cool.
Really clever nod to Taylor Swift's song.
And the fundraising they got really creative with.
Oh, yeah.
They used the blank space on parking signs for a donation drive.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Tying it back to her lyrics.
I mean, talk about maximizing the moment, right?
Maximizing the moment.
Yeah.
But then things took a little bit of a serious turn.
Always got to happen, right?
Yeah. When the city council tackled the issue of bad faith evictions.
Oh, yeah. This was a major point of contention. The proposed bylaw aimed to protect tenants from landlords, essentially using renovations as a kind of pretext for evicting them. And the, you know, crux of it is that landlords would need a special license for vacant occupancy, proving that those renovations are actually legitimate and not just a way to, you know, displace tenants and increase rents.
Right. Councillor Fletcher and Councillor Holliday were very vocal in their support of this bylaw.
Absolutely.
Sharing some stories about vulnerable tenants who were facing displacement and really highlighting that human cost of, you know, these practices.
Yeah, and Councillor Menciata, you know, really drove that point home with a powerful analogy. She said, nobody's coming along to say, I'm going to sell your house. Why don't you move out? And it really highlights that power imbalance.
Yes, okay. Between homeowners and renters.
And it makes you think.
Absolutely.
About the bigger picture, right? We're talking about a housing crisis in Toronto, affordability challenges, displacement, you know, lack of affordable housing options.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there was some pushback.
Oh, yeah.
Councillor Bradford questioned the bylaw's effectiveness and also expressed some concerns about, you know, the financial burden that this could place on landlords.
Yeah, the estimated relocation costs for tenants were a big part of that conversation.
Yeah, so this debate really just revealed the complexities.
It did.
Of balancing tenant rights with property ownership.
Absolutely.
And what is a very challenging housing market.
Definitely. It's a tough one for sure.
Okay, so from housing, we move on to another very hot button topic.
Okay, let's hear it.
Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, the proposed bike lane on Parkside Drive.
So this proposal aims to address the speeding and aggressive driving on a street that already has a history of some pretty serious accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan is to reduce one traffic lane to accommodate the bike lane.
Right.
But of course, this sparked a debate about, you know, what impact that's going to have on traffic flow.
Right. And Councillor Melby, who represents that ward, voiced some concerns, saying that this project really doesn't address the most pressing traffic issues. In that area, and didn't adequately consider the impact on residential parking.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And this actually then prompted a discussion about driver behavior.
Interesting.
And the effectiveness of speed cameras and fines in curbing speeding.
You know, it makes you think about how do you change driver behavior, right?
Right.
Is it Is it punishment? Is it, you know, different kinds of infrastructure? What's the best approach?
Right. Counselor Bradford suggested an alternative.
Okay.
Utilizing the existing pathways through High Park.
Oh, interesting.
For cyclists.
So using what we already have.
Yeah. And this, you know, it really highlights the challenge of finding these solutions.
It does.
That try and balance the needs of drivers,
right,
cyclists, and pedestrians.
Yeah.
Especially in a space that is as beloved and well-used as High Park.
Absolutely. A lot of people love High Park.
Yeah. So I think this Parkside Drive debate really just underscores.
I think so, too.
The larger challenges that cities are facing.
Absolutely.
Trying to promote alternative transportation while also dealing with traffic congestion and just limited infrastructure.
Right. How do we create a transportation system that really works for everyone, right?
Right.
Okay.
It's a big question.
So we had all that heavy debate, but then we got this really nice moment of unity.
Okay.
And tell me more. It was about the naming of a newly formed island in the Portlands.
So this new island was formed through a revitalization project, and it became a symbol of community and connection to indigenous culture.
And they named it.
They did.
Odomino Miga.
Which is beautiful, and it's so meaningful, reflecting the indigenous language and heritage of the region.
The naming ceremony was just this beautiful display.
I love that.
Of inclusivity and collaboration, and it just really speaks to the importance of honoring indigenous history and language.
Absolutely.
In public spaces. You know, it's about representation. It's about recognizing the history that came before us. And I think that's so important.
But just as we were catching our breath.
Oh, no.
We were plunged back into another heated debate.
Buckle.
This time about the removal of existing bike lanes.
Oh.
On University Avenue, Bloor Street, and Danforth Avenue.
So this is particularly interesting because, you know, we're talking about intergovernmental relations here. The provincial government kind of stepped in and overrode the city's decision to implement these bike lanes.
Hmm.
They did this through Bill 212.
Yeah. And needless to say, many on city council were not happy about this.
No, I can imagine not.
They saw it as an overreach of provincial authority.
I mean, it raises questions about, you know, governance and jurisdiction and who really gets to decide how our cities evolve, right?
Absolutely. And plus,
yeah,
there's the financial factor.
Oh, yeah. Money always comes into it.
Removing the bike lanes is estimated to cost $48 million.
Wow. That's not a small chunk of change.
Not a small chunk of change.
Yeah.
Councillor Perks raised some concerns about the lack of transparency regarding the data.
Interesting.
You know, on the bike lane usage.
Yeah.
And the impact that they were actually having.
It's about evidence-based decision-making.
Yeah.
Without clear data, you know, these debates can so easily just become ideological battles and not reasoned discussions about what really serves the needs of the community.
Right. And Councillor Bradford, sticking to his stance,
put
forward a motion to support restoring the motor vehicle lanes.
Oh, so going back to the way things were.
Yeah, on Bloor Street specifically,
okay,
citing public backlash against that bike lane.
Oh, so there's definitely community pushback there.
Yeah. But then the mayor delivered this really impassioned defense.
Oh, wow.
Of bike lanes.
Okay.
Drawing on his own personal experiences as a cyclist.
Bringing in the personal touch.
Yeah. And anecdotes from residents who actually rely on bikes for transportation.
Interesting.
Emphasizing the safety, the health, the environmental, and even the economic benefits of bike lanes.
So painting a picture of a city that prioritizes active transportation.
Yes.
Reduces its reliance on cars.
It was really a powerful speech.
It sounds like it.
Highlighting those different visions for Toronto's future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, these are big questions that cities all around the world are grappling with right now. So it's interesting to see it play out here in Toronto.
And that is where we leave off for part one.
Oh, exciting cliffhanger.
Stay tuned for part two, where we will cover the evening session.
Yeah. We'll find out how the council voted on these issues and what other surprises they had in store.
It's going to be a good one.
Can't wait. Welcome back to our deep dive into the November 14th Toronto City Council meeting.
So when we left off, the council was about to vote on the mayor's motion to oppose the provincial bill 212.
Right. The one targeting the city's bike lanes.
Yeah, you could really feel the tension in the room. Everyone was eager to see how this vote would land.
Well, the vote ultimately went in favor of the mayor's motion, but it was a close one.
Oh, really?
18-7. So clearly there's still significant opposition within the council.
So what happens now? Does this mean the bike lane battle is over?
Well, not necessarily. While this motion directs the city to oppose Bill 212, it's ultimately the province that has the final say.
Right.
So the city will present its case and its evidence, but the outcome is still very much uncertain.
It seems like this back and forth between the city and the province is becoming a bit of a recurring theme.
You've hit on a crucial point. I think this meeting really highlighted the sometimes strained relationship between municipal and provincial governments.
Right.
It raises questions about governance jurisdiction and who really gets to decide how our cities evolve.
Yeah, definitely. Well, after that dramatic vote, the council moved on to other agenda items, but yeah, the echoes of that bike lane debate and the bad faith eviction bylaw, I think, really lingered.
Yeah, they definitely exposed some pretty deep divisions within the council.
Speaking of divisions, the discussion on a proposed development at 38 Walmer Road brought up some very different viewpoints.
Oh, yeah. This development proposal had sparked a lot of community discussion.
Yeah, the council chamber was packed.
Oh, wow.
With residents eager to have their say.
That's great to see people engaged.
Councilor Perks was especially vocal in his opposition, arguing that the development was just out of scale with the neighborhood and would negatively impact its character.
So what did he propose as an alternative?
Well, he put forward an amendment to reduce the heightened density of the development.
Okay, so trying to find a compromise.
Exactly, and this triggered a really lengthy debate.
Of course, with some councilors supporting the amendment and others siding with the developer's original vision.
And this is where things got really interesting. The vote on the amendment was incredibly close, ultimately failing by a single vote.
Wow, one vote.
Just one vote.
That's a nail biter.
It really shows how much weight each councilor's voice carries. And it underscores the importance of community engagement and how local residents can really advocate for their concerns.
Absolutely. And it makes you think about that delicate balance between, you know, the need for new housing and the desire to preserve existing communities.
A challenge that cities around the world are facing.
Absolutely. And there's no easy answer. Finding compromises that work for both developers and residents is an ongoing challenge.
Okay, so next up, the council turned its attention to another pressing issue, traffic congestion.
Yes. The never-ending battle against gridlock.
It was a really wide-ranging discussion.
I bet covering everything from traffic calming measures to public transit investments.
And the ongoing challenges of managing traffic flow in a rapidly growing city.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Councillor Bradford, who's known for his focus on fiscal responsibility, proposed exploring a congestion pricing system for Toronto.
Well, that's interesting. That idea has been floating around for a while.
It's definitely controversial with potential benefits for reducing traffic, but also concerns about equity and affordability.
Right. It's a complex policy with far-reaching implications.
So recognizing those complexities, the council voted to study the congestion pricing proposal further to really weigh the potential costs and benefits.
Okay, so not a yes, but not a no.
Exactly.
It shows a willingness to explore those innovative solutions to complex problems. And while studying something doesn't guarantee implementation, it at least shows a commitment to understanding all the options before making a decision.
Now, for a bit of a change of pace, the council also discussed a proposal for a new public art installation.
Oh, that's nice. A little bit of culture.
The aim of the project is to bring more public art to the waterfront, create a vibrant and engaging space for residents and visitors.
That's lovely.
The council was generally supportive of the idea.
Good.
Recognizing the value of public art in enriching the city's cultural landscape.
It definitely adds to the vibrancy of a city.
But there was some discussion about the selection process for the artist.
Makes sense.
And what type of artwork would be most appropriate for that location.
Right, you want to make sure it's something that resonates with the community.
So in the end, the council voted to move forward with the project, but they included some stipulations.
Yeah, okay.
Regarding the selection process and community consultation.
So making sure that the community has a voice.
Exactly. It highlights the importance of ensuring that public art really reflects the diversity and values of the community it serves.
It should be for everyone.
And as the daytime session drew to a close, the council took a moment to acknowledge the hard work of city staff.
Oh, that's nice. A little appreciation.
Yeah, recognizing the dedication and expertise of the people who keep the city running smoothly, often behind the scenes.
It's easy to forget about all the effort that goes into maintaining a city as large and complex as Toronto.
Absolutely. From public transportation and waste management to park maintenance, there's an army of dedicated individuals working tirelessly to make our city livable. And welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into the November 14th Toronto City Council meeting.
This evening's session had some really critical decisions.
It did. We're going to start by revisiting that proposal for a new affordable housing development in the city's East End.
Right. This project had been stalled for months.
It had, facing some hurdles due to funding concerns and a bit of community pushback. But Councillor Holliday, a longtime champion for affordable housing, really delivered a compelling speech urging her colleagues to move forward.
So what were some of her key arguments?
She highlighted the urgent need for affordable housing options in Toronto and emphasized those positive ripple effects that this development would have on families who are struggling to make ends meet.
A powerful appeal to the council's sense of social responsibility.
It was, but, you know, we mentioned there was some community opposition.
Right. What were their concerns?
Well, some residents voiced concerns about the project's impact on traffic and local services.
Okay, worrying about the strain on existing infrastructure.
Exactly. So how did the council navigate these very different viewpoints?
After a lengthy and at times heated debate, the council ultimately voted to approve the affordable housing development. It was a close vote, but it demonstrated a commitment from the majority of councilors to address the city's housing crisis.
It sounds like a hard-fought victory for those who'd been advocating for this project.
It was, and it reinforces the power of persistent advocacy and, you know, the importance of finding solutions that balance the needs of the entire community.
Absolutely. Okay, shifting gears to another crucial topic, police reform. This discussion felt especially timely given the ongoing national conversation about police accountability and the need for systemic change.
Definitely, and the council reviewed a series of recommendations from the city's task force on police reform.
Okay, and what were they aiming to do?
Well, the goal was to increase transparency, improve community relations, and address systemic racism within the force.
Council Fletcher was really key in championing these reforms.
Right, arguing they were essential for rebuilding trust between the police and the community.
But as with many reform efforts, there was some resistance.
Understandably, the police union voiced concerns that some of these proposed changes would impede their ability to effectively carry out their duties.
So how did the council reconcile those differing perspectives?
They had a thoughtful and nuanced discussion, really recognizing the validity of both viewpoints. But ultimately, they voted to implement most of the task force's recommendations.
Okay, so signaling a commitment to pursuing meaningful police reform.
Exactly. It might not solve every problem overnight, but it's a step in the right direction.
And finally, we come to the city's budget, always a topic that sparks some lively debate.
Oh, yes, the budget always does.
In this case, Councillor Bradford, a strong advocate for fiscal responsibility, proposed cuts to various city programs.
Okay, arguing that these measures were necessary to maintain the city's financial health.
But of course, there was a counter-argument.
Right, Councillor Layton countered that these cuts would disproportionately impact vulnerable communities and essential services.
She presented an alternative budget proposal that really prioritized investments in those social programs and infrastructure.
So essentially a clash between austerity and social spending, a classic budget debate.
Exactly. And this dynamic plays out not just in Toronto, but in cities all over the world.
Absolutely. It reflects fundamental differences in values and priorities.
So how did this budget battle play out?
Well, after hours of negotiation and some last-minute compromises, they reached a consensus on a budget that attempts to balance fiscal responsibility with strategic investments in key areas.
Well, there you have it. We've journeyed through an incredibly eventful day at Toronto City Council, from affordable housing and police reform to bike lanes. And the budget this meeting covered a lot of ground.
It did. And those decisions made in that council chamber are going to shape the future of Toronto.
This deep dive has been a fascinating glimpse into the complexities of local government and the passionate individuals who are working to address these challenges facing our city.
And it's a reminder that local government, although often overlooked, has a profound impact on our daily lives.
It really does. It's where a lot of the decisions that directly affect us are made. Well, we've reached the end of our three-part exploration of the November 14th Toronto City Council meeting. We hope you found this deep dive insightful and engaging.
Remember, your voice matters. Engage with your local government, participate in community discussions, and let your elected officials know what your priorities are.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe and check out other podcasts from the Prontcast Network.